Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's a beautiful morning. It's a great morning to be offering a word from our Lord and Savior. I hope everybody's had a good week. I hope everybody is well or getting well. I've been praying for each of you this week. I love you, and I'm excited to bring this message this morning. This morning, we're going to continue the I Am series. We talked last week about I Am the Bread of Life. This week we're talking about Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So this week is I Am the Light. So I can't wait. I'm excited to bring you this message. And again, I hope that everyone is doing well. It's been a different kind of time the last few weeks. But again, I'm grateful to be here, grateful to be bringing this message. And before I get started, I want to say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here. Thank you for this presence in this wonderful place, Lord. Thank you for being a loving God. Lord, I thank you for this church and this community, Lord. I just thank you that, I'm just so appreciative that you're in control, Lord. I just, again, honored to be here. Lord, I just pray that you speak through me today, Lord, that your words flow through me and the folks receive the message that you intend them to hear. And I pray that everything we do here today, Lord, honors and glorifies you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now again, today we're going to talk about light. We're going to talk about how Jesus is the light of the world. And I want to begin just by simply asking you, have you ever been in darkness? Have you ever truly been in darkness? I'm talking about physical darkness right now, where you can't see any light at all. There's not a glimmer. There's not anything except darkness surrounding you. Again, just take a second and imagine that. The times that I remember physically being in darkness like this was when I was young, when I was really young. My brother and I would go explore a few caves that were close to where we grew up. And when you get back in those caves, and you crawl around back there, and you turn your flashlight off, and you turn whatever light that's guiding you off, and then there's nothing. Your eyes may adjust a little bit, but there's no light at all. There's no light at all. That's the darkness that I want us to imagine today. And then, I wouldn't say I'm scared of the dark. The only thing I know of I'm scared of is heights. I don't like heights at all. The dark I can handle. But if you've been in the dark a while and you don't see any light at all, it kind of gets, starts to get on your nerves a little bit. And then that first glimmer of light, it could be just a spark. When you see it, you're like, wow, there is light out there. Even though I'm in a very dark place, there is light out there. And again, I'm talking from a physical stance. I'm going to transition more into a spiritual darkness and a spiritual light stance as I go through this message this morning. I've been saying that I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, 1 through 11. As I've been preparing and finishing this sermon, I can't stop at 11. The Lord kept leading me on past verse 11. So I'm actually going to read quite a bit of scripture to start with. I'm going to read the first 38 verses of John 9. And it says, as he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the slob. And he spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Then he went and washed and came back and was able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered them, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and he said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and I washed, and I received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This is a man not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know. We do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you not want to hear it again? Or why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "He is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to ones who worship and obey him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sin, and now you're trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for that word, Lord. Just thank you for being a miracle-working God, Lord. Thank you for loving us when we don't deserve it, Lord. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for giving us what we need. Again, Lord, I just pray that you speak these words through me, that everyone listening hears the message that comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Earlier, I asked you to imagine yourself in total physical darkness, where you can't see anything. Total darkness. This blind man had never seen anything. He had never seen anything. And not only was this man blind, but he was probably also poor because he was a beggar. He had no way to make a living. He had never seen the light. But Jesus told him that he was the light of the world. And if you're in darkness this morning, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is still the light of the world. If you respond to him and call on him by his name, by faith, he will make you see. Again, this man was in total physical and spiritual blindness. According to the scripture, he was born blind. And to me, being blind, when I think about being blind, I think that would be one of the most horrible physical disabilities. To never see a sunset, to never see the face of a child, to never see things that we take for granted, I think would be just a terrible, terrible situation. Yet this man, he lived his entire life in total darkness. You see, his birth, from birth he couldn't see. And again, he wasn't only disabled, but he was also in poverty. He was also in poverty. And he was there begging. He was there begging. And I can't imagine the state of this man's life, being in that total darkness, not knowing how he's going to get his next bite, just expecting people to come by and help him. That has to be a helpless situation. I would say the man was even, he was probably even questioning his birth, like, why was I even born if I was just going to sit here and beg? But Jesus came by and he showed him the light. He said, I am the light, and he gave his life purpose. Again, the man was unable to find employment probably because of his disability. So this is a picture of absolute poverty. But we go on, we read on, and we read about the ministry of a sovereign God. You see, this man was exposed to the light. When Jesus passed by, this man's life was forever changed. Jesus first healed him of his physical disability. He allowed him to see. When Jesus comes to a sinner that's living in darkness, he gives him physical light. Or he gives him physical light, but he gives him spiritual light. He gives him hope. And when the man went and people asked him how Jesus had done this, he said basically that Jesus had rubbed mud on his eyes and told him to go wash. And when he washed, he came back and he could see. But he never said that Jesus actually spit on the mud. And I started thinking and praying about this. I started thinking and praying about why did he not mention that Jesus had spit on the mud to make, cover the dirt to make the mud? Why didn't he mention this? And then I started thinking and praying, you know, he didn't see him do it. He never saw Jesus spit and make the mud. He knew he had made the mud somehow, but he never saw how. And that started to remind me that sometimes when we feel in despair, sometimes when we feel in darkness, we see things going around us that we don't like, and we feel lost, we feel in darkness. Jesus is already working his plan. He's already working for the benefit of us. We just can't see it yet. And then all of a sudden when we come to him and we see that light, we may not see how Jesus did it, but we see the result of his healing. We see the result of him placing his hands upon us and giving us our spiritual sight. Again, often we can't see the world's work, the Lord's work in the world. We cannot see it because we're blinded by other things. But let me tell you for sure that he is working today just like he was working then. He's working to make a path for us, to make things better for us. He's wanting us to be well. He's wanting our nation to heal again. He's wanting our churches to be strong again. That's why he came. You see, after Jesus exposed the man to physical light, he began to lead him through a series of events that brought him face to face with the spiritual God, the spiritual Jesus, the one that can open his spiritual eyes. You see, being able to see with physical eyes is never enough. We must also come to a place where we can see spirit light spiritually. You see, in verses 10 through 12, the man just referred to Jesus as the fellow named Jesus. And then you go down to verses 13 through 17, and he refers to Jesus as a prophet. And then on down to 18 through 33, when he's being questioned, he says that he's a man of God when he's talking to the Jews. And then in verses 34 through 38, his conversation with Jesus, when Jesus came back to him, he declares that he is the Son of God. So he healed him physically, and then he took him through a series of steps that healed his spiritual life. You see, that's the spiritual life. That's what we need to see. That's the light that we need to see before we can be saved. You see, he is the Son of God. He is worthy of our worship and our faith. And he is the light of the world. But when you go down to verse 34, or when you read verse 34, he was kicked out of the synagogue. He was told to leave because of his faith, because of his trust in God. He kind of got blackballed. Sometimes when we come and we realize that we're in spiritual darkness, then all of a sudden we see the light of Jesus Christ. We have to leave some things behind, and sometimes we get excluded from some things, and that's okay, because what Jesus can offer us is greater than anything that any individual on earth can offer us. There's some great people in the world. We can get some temporary satisfaction, but the only way we get our eternal relief, the only way we get our eternal salvation, is by accepting Jesus Christ as the light of our life. And for the first time, this man in this story was excited about his life. Again, he'd been born in poverty. He'd been born blind. He had nothing to be excited about. And then he had a meeting with Jesus. He saw the light. And now he's excited. He gives him life. You see, this man was no theologian. He was no theologian, but by one life, eternal life-changing event with Jesus. He had that relationship. He had that relationship with the Savior that's more important than anything you can learn. That relationship with a Savior that does not give you temporary satisfaction or a little bit of money in your cup when you're begging. It gives you eternal salvation that lasts you forever and ever and ever. You see, because this is really a message of a miracle. And when I think about Jesus being the light of the world, it has so many meanings. When you think of Jesus being the light of the world, we use that light for guidance. We use that light to look and see where we're supposed to be going. We use it for illumination. When we're in a very, very dark place and we can't see anything, we use Christ's spiritual light to show us where we are. That illumination to keep us from being in total darkness. That's where what we use that light for. The third purpose of that light is reflection. The third purpose of the light is reflection. You see, because after I come encounter with the light of the world, unless I reflect what that means, it's useless. I have to reflect his light to other people. If you look at me, you only see... If you look at me physically, you only see my downfalls. You only see how bad I am. But if I can reflect Christ's light, you don't see me through the eyes of physical being. You see Christ in me. That's the way I need to be living my life, is to reflect him. A few months ago, I was sitting on my deck, and I'm looking at the sky. I was home by myself. I'm sitting there looking at the sky, and I look, and it's the most beautiful moon. It's huge, it's bright, and I thought, that is a beautiful, beautiful body. And then I started thinking about what I know about the moon, because I've studied a little bit, and I know that the moon is really not all that pretty. It's dark, it's dirty, it has all these craters, and if you look at it as itself, it's not a pretty thing. But when it's reflecting the light of the sun, it is awesome. It gives us a picture. Think about the most beautiful moon you've ever seen. And that's really not the moon that's that beautiful. It's the sun. It's reflecting the sun. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be reflecting the light of the Son of God. That's what we're here for. That's how we can be a blessing to other people. It's through reflection. You see, Jesus is a shining light. He walked on earth. He showed people on earth when he was here where the light was. He delivered them from darkness. And I'm going to tell you that today, he's still doing the same thing. He's still delivering us from darkness. He's still doing miracles. He's still doing things in people's lives that sometimes we can't see the work, but we see the result and say, how did that happen? He's still a shining light. We have things going on right now in our world, in our country, in our church, in our communities that we don't understand. There's a lot of turmoil. I don't know if y'all have seen the news, but man, there's some turmoil out there. You don't even have to see the news. You can talk to your neighbor, you can talk to your neighbor. That's what's going on. But I'm here to tell you that no matter what happens this week, Christ is still the light of the world. If we're searching for our satisfaction with physical or political means, and we see no hope, we need to look at the light of Christ. That's where we'll find our hope. We won't find our hope on either political side. We won't find our hope within any individual unless they're reflecting the light of Christ. That's where we'll see our hope. You see, Jesus is a seeking light. He's looking for us. After the man was cast out by the Jews, after he was rejected by the Jews, Jesus went looking for him. You see, Jesus is looking for you today, too. He's looking for me. If we've wandered away, if we've been kicked out, if we've been discouraged, he's looking to show us the light once again. You see, because Jesus is the saving light. When the man in the scripture bowed down and received Jesus, you see, I'm sure he forgot about being blind. He forgot about the pain by being rejected. When he accepted Jesus as his Savior, all he could see was the light from Jesus. And all he wanted to do was reflect that light. And he'd go tell people about Jesus. You see, this man never expected that he would be healed and saved on the same morning. When he got up that morning, that was not what he was expecting. He was expecting to go through his normal life. His normal life of going and begging and getting enough money to eat and go on. He didn't expect for Jesus to change everything. He didn't expect to be healed of his blindness that day. He didn't expect to be healed of his spiritual blindness that day, but Jesus took care of both needs forever. You see, many of us here today are in the same shape. We may not be physically blind, but spiritually we're in a lost place. We're in a very dark place that we can only see these bad things going on around us. We can't see that light of Christ. But I'm here to tell you that he's still there. He's still in the same place that he was the last time you saw that light. He has not left you. If you're in a dark place this morning, I can tell you that the same light of the world that healed this man is still the light of the world today. I'm here to tell you that he is still the light of the world. He still offers that saving light. He still is a shining light. And he's still seeking you today. Have you received this light? Are you reflecting this light? Are you guiding other people to this light? That's what we do with the light. If you are here this morning or you're listening this morning and you can't see that light, you're in a place of spiritual darkness, I pray that you look up and you see the light of Jesus Christ. I pray that if you can only see the bad things that are going on, I pray that you look up and you see the face of Jesus. I pray that if you're in a spiritual place that's very dark, that you look to him, because he is still there. He's still there. He's still as bright today as he was 2,000 years ago. Have you received this light? If you haven't received the light, if you would like somebody to talk to or pray with, if you want to call me, I would love to pray with you. If you want to email me, if you want to come out, I would love him to pray with you. And again, my number is 865-368-4186. You see, I'm not the light, but I can tell you where the light is. I can't give you salvation, but I can tell you who can. I can't give you peace in these hard times, but I can point you, I can reflect the light where that peace comes from. You see, because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, thank you just for sending your Son. Thank you for sending your Son into a dark world. Thank you for sending your Son into a world that needed a Savior. Thank you for this Savior that's still with us today, Lord. If we look, we can see that light. If we look around us, we only see darkness. But if we're looking towards you, we see that light. We see that hope. We see that salvation. That through the sacrifice of your Son, that salvation is available to us, Lord. I just pray that if there's anyone here that's listening that has never seen this light, Lord, they experience it today. Or maybe someone or some people are in listening today that has seen the light, but now they're wandering in darkness because they see so many things going on around them. They've lost the focus of light, Lord. I just pray that you reveal that light to them, that they look towards you to fulfill their needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, just thank you so much for being here. We still need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our churches. We need to pray for our community. We still have some people battling illness. And we need to pray for healing for those. And I just, again, if you need me for anything this week, just reach out to me. I love you. God loves us more than we can even imagine.